there's people, inevitably some of them go off to do other things, but then they remember us from our experience and how great that was. And so now we've created super fans that kind of cross-pollinate into other organizations. And so that's been a really fantastic process for us.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. This is the Business Superfans Podcast with your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
Hey, superfans, Freddie D here. In this episode 202, we're joined by Dane Fredrickson, a seasoned video strategist who helps service-based and B2B companies solve a challenge so many owners face. They know they need video to build trust and visibility, but they get stuck overthinking polish, process, and what to say. From growing up in a family video production business to leading projects for brands like National Geographic, USA Today, and Twitch, Dane has spent more than 30 years mastering the craft. Now he helps businesses create authentic, sustainable video systems that make them easier to trust, easier to remember, and far more likely to win new business. Welcome, Dane, to the Business Superfan Advantage podcast. Great conversation that we had before we started recording, and you've got an interesting background and like to share that with our listeners. What's the backstory? How did you get started into all this video stuff? You mentioned that you've been doing it for 30 years. I mentioned that I played around with it when I was in middle school, eighth grade, but you've turned it into a career. So what's the whole story?
Yeah, I actually even started a little before you. When I was just a little kid, I was in a couple commercials and experimental videos for my father's career in psychology. Then shortly after, my parents started a video production company doing commercials in the DC area. And so I grew up in the industry and was understandably fascinated by the Hollywood aspect of the lights and the camera, and thought it was so cool that you could make all these creative decisions. And I think when I was younger, the technology was really interesting. Maybe the way that little kids see a garbage truck or a fire truck and they're super impressed. Hey, look at the lights, the camera, it's so cool, so interesting. And then somewhere along the way, they got the first editing machine, which is called an Avid Media Composer. And that just blew my mind because computers were still pretty new, and to do editing had to be done in these expensive suites, which I got to see some of that happening. And then all of a sudden, now you can do it on a computer. That blew my mind. So I was I want to do that. So then I just got the opportunity to learn how to edit on their machine, work my way up into post-production facilities in the DC area, dubbing tapes and patching wires and learning all the technology, and then just kind of work my way up the food chain from editor to someone who shoots, someone who produces, directs, writes, and eventually just started my own company about 15 years ago. Along the way, I like to think I've seen all quarters of this industry and worn all the hats. So I now have this, global expertise in video land. I jokingly say I don't have all the answers, but I think I know what all the questions are. This is where I'm at.
Wow. What a backstory. And how did you move from DC to California? What's the story there? How did that? That's completely from one end to the other end of the country.
Yeah. I like to say I completed the migration of my family lineage from Scandinavia all the way to California, completing the as far as we could go. So yeah, it was right after the .com boom. My friend had come out here, my best friend, and he'd been telling me all during this .com boom, you got to get out of here, it's amazing. And I'm sure it was, I heard stories, but I got here a little bit late, kind of after the crash. And I really followed a girl. That's how I started my family, and that's what got me out here. And I did a year in LA. That was too much for me. Then I came up to the Bay Area, and I've been here ever since. I'm loving it. I just think these are my people, techie, nerdy people that are, outdoors, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, I've been to the California, both in, since I was in the tech space, since its beginning, in a sense, 1980s, early 80s, like 1980 in itself. And so I used to go out to the west in San Jose area. There was a lot of tech companies there that I would spend some time with out there. So I can appreciate what you're talking about. So let's go into, I know that you work with a lot of businesses right now, helping businesses really leverage video to get their messaging out. Let's talk a little bit about that, because that's an area that I've talked a lot about in the past, of especially just super simple. I would tell customers back in 2008, 2009, about, you had a smartphone back then. They were out. Apple had the iPhone came out and stuff. And I'd say, get a video testimonial right there. It doesn't have to be Hollywood. It's a fact that you're getting it right then and there. And then you can share it, because Facebook just popped out. LinkedIn was taken off. And that was a way to create credibility. But you've taken it completely to a whole another level. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, you're quite right to point out that, like, the capability for doing these things has been there for a while. I'd even argue since, like, the VHS days, you could do video, but to do it at, like, a professional quality, there's just, like, this standard that people, companies feel like they need to be at, a polish of, like, how good does it need to be, the lighting, the... Just look at, like, on broadcast television, they got the makeup, they got all the lights, like... It's a production, literally. And I think what's happened right under our noses with smartphones, also with the pandemic ushering in this webcam capability, and I'd argue necessity, like, now this is business as usual. What we're doing now is
sure.
It's also because of the changes with social media, kind of creating a more casual vibe that's creeped into the business universe. This is acceptable professional quality now, in a way bigger way than it used to be. I regularly see people on LinkedIn, CEOs with their phone out. And I think there's a CEO from, is it Blackstone or BlackRock? I saw him. He's like doing phone videos while he's jogging. He's sweating. And that's thought leadership in the world that we live in now.
Yep. So
you saw it early that you can do this, but the acceptability aspect of that has changed under our feet. And then there's still that, I don't know, the self-consciousness of wanting to be on camera. Are you willing to do that? I never wanted to be on camera. Like, I wanted to be the guy behind the scenes, like editing, shooting. That was where I thought I fit in. But I saw how things are changing. And I was like, hey, if I don't use this opportunity to be visible, to get out there and put my thinking, my brand out there, then I'm really just staying invisible. Leaving it for someone else to lead that initiative in my space. And so I just made the decision, hey, like, what am I willing to do to be successful? Am I willing to do this? Yes, I am. And I think there's a lot of business leaders, subject matter experts out there that really should be doing this. Like, the opportunity and the necessity is there, where they're going to be too shy, too uncomfortable being on camera. Like, they don't like the way they look, the way they sound. And then there's this other aspect of, I'm worried that I'll say something wrong. It'll come back to haunt me. You post it online, it's out there forever.
And right.
Are you okay with that? You have to be if you're going to play that game. And I just got to reassure myself that I would be lucky if people remembered the things I said, right? If I mattered enough that someone's going to look back a few years ago to something that I said. And it's just, you're going to create this body of work. You get in the reps. And over time, it's not going to matter where you started, I think. It's just, you're going to have this skill, this acumen that you didn't have before, that's going to be helping with your visibility. It's going to help you build trust, and it's going to help you stand out, because all those people that aren't going to do this, well, yeah, you're different than them.
Sure.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, no, you're right on the money, because, for example, I'm going to be transparent here, is I'm learning to speak to the camera by myself. And it's one thing for you, say, for you and I to be on camera. This is easy for me, because I've been doing video conferencing for a long time in the when it first came out, I used it for business when I would meet with distributors in other parts of the world. We used some video. I was really early adopter of WebEx. But now, like you just said, to be the thought leadership, you got to grab your phone and you got to go with it. And you're talking to the phone and you've got to really transform your mindset that you're actually talking to an audience. And that takes a skill set. It doesn't happen like this because I've been working on it and you have to record it and flub it and then re-record it. And you got to get comfortable. So it's a whole mindset aspect that you got to punch through.
Yeah, it really is. And I think you tapped into a secret hack there. Like for the people that are worried about this, uncomfortable with this, you don't have to post it. You can just record it, watch it, complain about it, obsess about it, make some changes, do it a few times. And like with those reps, like anything, the more you do it, you're going to get good at it. And look at what other people are doing. It's not perfect. Like just start to get comfortable with the barriers coming down for the polish. And there's a really key aspect I think we need to point out is that we live in a new world of like millennials and Gen Z appreciating authentic content more, valuing it. And there is an argument for the polished stuff that people have been doing actually can work against you. It can make you seem fake, a duplicitous marketing talk, or like whatever you want to say. If I do something raw, unrehearsed, on my phone, walking down the street, that just feels more real because, frankly, it is more real, right? You haven't rehearsed this. This is you being you. And then I inherently trust you more because of it.
Yeah, and that goes back to what I said with using the cell phone for getting customer testimonials, because it doesn't have to be perfect. If the camera is wobbling and you're wobbling the thing and the person fumbles a little bit, you're absolutely right. It's authentic. That's a real testimonial. It's not a Hollywood produced one where someone memorized the script. So you're absolutely right on the money that that is how you basically differentiate yourself from a competitor. But let's go into a little bit more of the things that you do, because you do a lot of cool stuff. So let's talk a little bit about how you really help elevate an organization to get their message out.
Just full disclosure, or like for perspective, like I think I've always been like an order taker for video. Like people say, hey, Dane, I need a video. Can you make it? And I say, yeah, I can make it. And then I help them go do that. But what's changed is it occurred to me that there's, with all these changes we've had about video and about AI and about this sort of business, social media culture of authenticity, all these changes, I've collected this body of knowledge, this holistic understanding of video that's pretty valuable. And I need to find a way of taking that expertise and putting it into a package that can basically help me help businesses make better video decisions. And so I've created this video strategy process that I've been doing it the whole time, call it pre-production or planning. But like a lot of that planning, if you do it all at once up front, not just for the one video project you're working on, but like across the organization, like how are we going to handle social media content? What about case studies? What about, should this be an animated video or should it be live action? Like all those decisions, I'm pretty well equipped to help make those with a company. So this is the strategy process I'm starting to sell. Admittedly, I'm new to selling strategy. It's a weird thing because the word strategy really freaks people out sometimes. Some people are like, I don't need a strategy. I just need a plan. And like, you could argue they're the same thing. I don't know. It depends. The way I talk about it is like, you wouldn't build a house without a blueprint. It's basically that.
Sure.
What I'm starting to do, sell this strategy, but then I still do all the things I used to do, which my video production company is just well-positioned with my wide network of vendors, partners, friends, people that I've worked with for years. I can basically bring just about any video project to life. Like I do animated explainer videos. I do video shoots like on location, case studies. I started to do like social media clips. I've got a whole team that just does social media clips. Like, for example, what we're doing right now, this is great content to be repurposed into 1 minute social clips with like captions and things flying around to kind of grab visual interest. So I've like pivoted my company to be like a one-stop shop for B2B video. And I'm building my team, building my capabilities. And I always like to say, anything you need is one phone call away, because I just know so many people now. You need a Nike commercial? I know that guy. I'm probably not going to be the one steering it, but I can sure connect you to that person. And so that's where I'm at right now, evolving my online presence to communicate that I sell strategy. That's where I'm at right now, never having done that before. How does that look? How do I make that into a package that people can say yes to?
Sure. What's the name of your agency? I didn't mention it beforehand, but I figured I'd let you.
Digital Accomplice, which a lot of people think it's accomplish with an H at the end, but it's accomplice, like someone who helps you with a crime. And I thought that was a tongue-in-cheek, fun way of talking about my company. I was inspired by Richard Branson. The name of his company, Virgin, was meant to be edgy, a naughty name. So I thought Digital Accomplice is a fun way to think about, hey, I'm here to help you with your digital media.
Yeah, no, I like it. It's a great name. It resonates, so it's cool. One of the things I saw and I want to share the story, because it's not really a story, but it's an example, because I think you can expand upon the importance of this. And that was a couple of years ago, I was running a company that was a service-based company, and we scaled it by about $1 million in a year. And I was researching competitors, because rule number one in sales is you want to understand, and marketing, you understand what your competitors are doing and how you're standing up to them. And there was a competitor that had a great video. And what they did was the video was all about their customer. So the customer was talking all about the services that they provided. So it was really the customer looked like the rock star. But then they would mention how this company was behind the scenes helping them be the rock star. So it happened to be an interpreting and translation company. So they were working with kids and different things that were not English proficient individuals. And so this interpreting company created this video, and it's really about all this agency working with these kids and helping all this stuff. But every now and then they would mention this interpreting and translation company, how they were the magic behind them being able to do it. So it was really clever, because they weren't boasting about how wonderful they were. Their customer was, in a sense, a super fan of them, and they were selling them while at the same time talking about the great services that they're doing with all these kids.
Yeah, it sounds like this is like a classic customer story, but told in a just good storytelling of the transformation that company helped take them from one place that was not good to a better place. And when someone undergoes a transformation like that, it usually needs a guide. And so it seems like this company was in the sort of the Yoda, the master seat to help with that transformation. And if they did experience a positive transformation, I would be very happy about that myself. And it sounds like they've got a heartwarming story about, you mentioned the kids and like improving lives and things like that. That's a little bit of a tearjerker story, but something we can all feel good about. That's what video is so good at, is like telling these emotional stories. You could write that on paper. You could use that with some dry language, or you go the other way and really help us feel that and get that emotion coming across. And I think that's what video does so well. And it sounds like that's the kind of example you're talking about, is a really emotional storytelling of a customer success story with the company as in the backseat.
Exactly. And I thought that was clever, because at the end of the day, you go, I like that company, and and you're happy for the agency that was working with the kids. Me as a prospect, I'm going to talk to this agency because they do cool stuff. And so they weren't talking about how wonderful they were, because nobody cares.
You made them care, right? In that video, like it's the
transformation. But that's it.
What we care about, not what does a widget do? No one cares about a widget. We care about the transformation.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how do you work with the company, and then share a story of how it worked with an organization and help them get a project out the door. And they became one of your, what I call super fan, that told a multitude of other people of the great work that you guys do.
Yeah. I'll tell you a story about working with Twitch, who has been my biggest and favorite client for a long time, probably 8 or 9 years at this point. And Twitch is barely that old. They were known as Justin TV originally. And in the beginning of Twitch, nobody knew what that was, that it would blow people's minds that people would watch other people play video games. And that was like entertainment. It's kind of like a weird thing. That culture took off. And a lot of the people that I used to work with at this magazine and publishing company called Future Publishing, they made like Xbox Magazine, PlayStation Magazine, stuff like that, PC Gamer. A lot of that leadership went over to Twitch when they were just starting out. And because I had helped them so much at Future as the video guy, I was like the first call as the video guy for Twitch.
Let's take a quick pause to thank our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Ninja Prospecting, the outreach team that makes cold connections feel warm. Here's the deal. Most service business owners are drowning in spammy DMs and cookie-cutter LinkedIn messages that never get a response. Sound familiar? Ninja Prospecting flips that script. They craft human-first outreach that actually sounds like you, and more importantly, gets results. No bots, no fluff, just real conversations that open doors. If you want to stop wasting time on dead-end messages and start filling your pipeline with qualified leads, talk to my friend Adam Packard and his team. Head over to ninjaprospecting.com to schedule a chat today, and be sure to mention you heard about it right here on the Business Superfans, the Service Provider's Edge. And hey, if you're the kind of person who likes to get started right away, you can join their free community at school.skool.com/ninja-prospecting-7704. It's packed with tips to maximize your connections and start making the right new ones. All right, let's get back to our conversation.
And so we did a few projects together and they went well. And then I started to see that there was this pattern of a need that they had. And what they would do is they would use a sizzle video that we would create that told the story of how their brand activation campaigns went. So what that would look like is, say, Coke would go to Twitch and they would do, hey, let's do an influencer campaign where people on stream are playing games, drinking Coke, talking about how great it is. And then those campaigns over time, they do really well. And then we want to go back to Coke and sit in the conference room with them and show them how this thing performed. And in video format, they can really feel that live influencer campaign, like the excitement, the energy, like what the heck Twitch is in the first place for a lot of these Coke execs. They wouldn't necessarily understand that initially. So we started to do these sizzle videos and they saw how powerful they were in showing people the real value and the success of those campaigns. So they kept asking for more of these and we realized, hey, we can make this easier process. So we did a flat pricing model. We set up a system where they could order it very easily. It would just go through our production pipeline. We had like a feedback loop all set up. So it was basically just making it turnkey. We want to make it really easy, and good experience for the client. And I think we did that over time. And that's probably evidenced by our continuing relationship, making these kinds of products for them after 8 or 9 years. So I'd count that as a success. And over the years, I've solicited a few quotes from the people that I worked with, and they would say things like, we're their secret weapon, because it basically was closing more deals for them, and who doesn't like that? And then there's people, inevitably, some of them go off to do other things, but then they remember us from our experience and how great that was. And so now we've created super fans that kind of cross-pollinate into other organizations. And so that's been a really fantastic process for us. And I'm always trying to replicate that. It's not always possible because not everyone has this ongoing pipeline need, but I would argue we're getting into a place where most companies that are doing video at all, which should be most of them at this point, you're going to need to do it ongoing. It's not one and done. You need to have an on presence that's there. And so we're just getting to that point where people are realizing, yeah, this is an ongoing thing, not, hey, let's make one hero video for our website or a couple case studies and then be done. That's how it was had to be done before, because it was expensive and hard.
Sure.
It's not hard or expensive anymore. So you can and need to do it ongoing. Anyway, that's a twist in the story, but yeah, that was Twitch was a really good case study, I think.
Yeah, it's a great story. And you bring up a really important point, Dane, is that you can't have stuff sit there and become stale. So it needs to be, in today's world, you need to really, you've got a customer story. Okay, it's been up there for 9 months. It's a little old. You need a new one. Yeah. I just worked, just talked with somebody, and I've been helping them with some of their marketing and sales. And one of the things I told him is, you've got antique, old testimonials. You need some new ones. And he goes, yeah, but I don't have the crew and all this stuff. And I says, dude, do you have one of these? It's all you need. It's a testimonial. It doesn't have to be Hollywood. I coached a woman 10 years ago. She started in a kitchen doing pot pies. And my wife now introduced us. And I remember she was starting from the kitchen, and I gave her some ideas. I helped her with some of their marketing and stuff. But she would go to the farmer's market, and I'd say, okay. And she got great at it. She wasn't good at it in the beginning, but she got great at it. She'd say, okay, it's Saturday. It's raining. I'm here at the farmer's market. We got some pot pies coming in, some chicken pot pies, some beef pot pies, and stuff like that. It's a perfect for a rainy day. Come on out and see us. We're here all day. And she just posted on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. And today, 10 years later, her pies are in grocery stores. They're in multiple states and everything else. And she all started. So I really want to emphasize what you're talking about. And she was doing it regularly. Every Saturday, she would post a new video.
Yeah. This is underscoring what we already talked about, but the low lift of doing that. Imagine, how long does it take to talk about a pot pie on a rainy day? Like a minute, 5 minutes tops, if you had to do it twice, right? Then you post it on Facebook, basically free. And how does that not help? Visibility, because you're top of mind, they're seeing you regularly, so they like you and trust you, you're familiar, and of course that's going to make a sale a lot easier, because trust is important. And then standing out, if no one else is doing this, you're the person that does that. And I think it's a no-brainer, and I think your point is a really great one, because it just really shows how easy this can be. It doesn't have to be expensive, it doesn't have to be hard, but you do have to do it. That's it. 10 years later, look where you could be if you put it in reps.
Yeah. And so one of the things that she did, and I told her to videotape it and share it, was they would do a chicken. One of the cashier girls would do a chicken dance. So she'd be, someone spent over $100, and she would be walking around like a chicken for someone to spend $100. I said, videotape that and put it out there, because it's stupid, it's funny, and it's hilarious, and humor sells.
Makes someone want to spend $100 so they get to see the thing. Like, people will gladly make a non-discretionary purchase, like an impulse purchase for some novelty like that. People do that stuff. It's all over social media. People doing these little stunts for fun, attention. Remember the ice bucket challenge?
Oh,
I think
yeah.
People wanted to show themselves getting ice water on them more than they cared about the charity behind it.
Right.
Really kind of, we're attention driven people, and not just for ourselves, but we like to give attention to interesting, weird things. So stand out, right?
Sure. Dane, share with us, for our listeners, because we got a lot of service-based businesses that listen to the show, is ways that they can utilize video to really expand their brand, and then toss in how you can help make that happen for them.
Yeah. So I think just getting started with any of this is, you got to take a first step. So I was, like you talked about, just take out your phone, do a little test. What you want to be doing, I think, is creating some sort of content that adds value for your audience. So let's say you're in HVAC or some sort of construction-y thing. You can show a video of you doing something on the job, and sharing your insight about, hey, this wire shouldn't be here, we're going to put it here, or some sort of tip that they can use that shows your knowledge. And then now you've created value for them with like very low lift, and it shows you working, builds you as an expert. This is all about sharing your expertise that they care about, answering their questions. And so no matter what industry you're in, you're going to have something like that, something visual to show. In cases where you don't know what that is, it could be you just talking to camera, sharing some sort of insight. It could be news related, some new development. It could be do's and don'ts. It could be a customer success story, could be like a unpopular opinion. Just take your cues from other things that people are posting in other formats and just do the video version of that. A video is really good for repurposing. So you can take any other content that you have and do a video version. If you have a blog, just do a 1-minute summary of what that blog is about. Post that in your blog. Now all of a sudden it's going to rank higher, be more valuable, give people different ways to consume that, and you're going to be top of mind more. So that's like the easy way to get started is with this low lift social media stuff. There's a place for all kinds of content. Eventually, you're probably going to want some other kind of format. Like it might be a more highly polished customer success story, a customer testimonial. I think those are really good for late stage conversion. A lot of people these days, they don't want to be sold to. They want to do their research ahead of time online. And so as they get themselves educated, they're getting closer and closer to a sale. And having a highly polished customer video, this emotional, really shows the success, the feeling of transformation from struggle to success, that can tip someone out over into the conversion category. And so that's just a different type of content. Maybe you've got some sort of product or process that's difficult to show or explain. Then maybe an animated explainer video would do the heavy lifting for you. Because once you make that and you put it out there, people can get educated on their own time while you're sleeping. Basically, what I'm going to help people do is come up with a plan, a strategy of what are we trying to do with the business? What are the things that could stand in our way? And how can we use video to address those visibility concerns, trust concerns, and standing out concerns? So that's really what video can do, communicating those emotionally. So what I can do for you is help coach you whatever step you're at, baby steps in the beginning for free. Then we start getting into a crawl, walk, run cadence. So then there's going to be like the next project that feels like the priority. And then over time, as you start seeing some success and we'll be measuring this together, if it's working, then we'll know what the next thing is to try. So really, I think of me as a Sherpa to get you up the mountain without falling down. We're going to get you the content that's going to make sense and move the needle, because I'm only interested in win-wins. Video is not a one and done thing. I'm interested in long-term relationships. So I'm going to be that advisor to help get you there and show you why it's worth it.
Yeah. You hit the nail right on the head, because there's a lot of good stuff that you just mentioned there, in the sense that how people can get themselves going and then really elevate it to the next level. And an idea that I'm going to toss for listeners where you could really help them is, we talk about grabbing video testimonials off of your smartphone, but now you've got 10, 12, 13 of those videos. This is where your services can come in, and you can take those 12, 13, 14 videos and package it into a story. Now it becomes, just like you said, that long-term, longer story that people can watch on a website, et cetera. Or the sales guy can go in there and says, hey, here's a quick 5-minute video, and this is all the customer stories. You can help put all that together so that business has a story that they can share.
Yeah. As you start building up this library of content, video is great for repurposing. You can use the audio on its own. You can use the text transcripts on its own. You can take a bunch of different videos and make like a compilation. You could ask a bunch of customers. Let's say you ask customers 5 questions, and now you've got 10 customers all answering those 5 questions. You could take 10 answers of question number 1, and now that's one piece of content focused on one thing, and a completely different topic number 2, you've got 10 people answering that question. So it's really about mixing and matching, leveraging like what you've already done, getting the most juice out of it. So that's where someone who's a video expert is going to be able to help you make those better decisions about getting more bang for your buck, rather than having to learn the hard way and figure out all this technical and creative stuff by yourself, which I've been doing this for 30 years. How could I possibly put that in a container and give that to you? That's a lot of stuff to cover.
Sure. And the other thing that I've shared with business, service-based businesses, especially in the home improvement industry, I told them that if you get the bid to do a kitchen remodel, videotape that whole process. I've shared it, and photograph it. So a combination of both. And because then what you do when You do it beforehand because most people won't take the remember to take the pictures before the kitchen got destroyed. Then, you know, the whole process, then you've got the whole new kitchen and nobody remembers it. And then everybody throws their parties in the kitchen. Everybody hangs out in the kitchen. And Sally comes over to Mary's house and says, "Man, I love this new kitchen. Yeah, remember how it looked like?" "No. Well, let me show you." And now you've got that person becoming a super fan of showing the whole story. So where your services can come in is say, okay, I can take those pictures, I can take those videos, and even though the guys are doing it with their smartphones or whatever, you can turn that into a whole story that the construction company can deliver back to Mary. And now you've created her as a sales person for you, aka a super fan, because she can go play a quick 3-minute reel.
Yeah,
that shows the whole story of high speed and everything else. So you can take what it took 90 days, you can have that customized into a 93-minute story.
Yeah, you could. There's a lot of ways to do this. I think a time lapse is also a great idea. You could get a GoPro. Buy them online, have them delivered tomorrow, and you can set those up to take photos at certain intervals. You could have someone who's working on the job like that take a picture or a video every single day or once a week, and then compile that over time. Like you said, like you can make a 30-second video that covers a 30-day build or a 3-year build. And like that, talk about a transformation and put a little music to that, maybe a little voiceover, someone talking about, hey, this is how we were in the beginning of the project, and now we're really happy with the results. Well, you would feel that. You not only see that, but you would feel, oh, wow, they're really happy. They're struggling before, and now life is great. So yeah, that's the kind of impact that you're not going to get from a text explanation or just a photo on your website. Hey, look at the building we built. That's cool, but isn't it a lot cooler to tell that transformation story?
Stories sell.
Yeah.
And you can, as a sales guy, you can just keep this quiet and go, look, this is our story. And that's actually our customer story. And then here's another customer story, and deal's done, because the story will sell and you don't have to. The less, I always tell people in sales, the less you say, the better off you are.
Yeah. And while those would be selling while you're sleeping, you put the work into a piece of content like that, it's out there working for you rather than going to presentation after presentation. It's like on autopilot at that point.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So how can people find you, Dane?
I'm on LinkedIn all the time. Dane Fredrickson, the company is Digital Accomplice, or my website at digitalaccomplice.com. Feel free to reach out if you got questions about video or strategy. I really make myself available as a video expert to help share that kind of knowledge, because it tends to lead the business. So I'm always happy to answer some questions.
Oh, great. Great conversation. And really appreciate your time on the show. You and I could probably talk about this for at least another day. And do you have anything for our listeners that they can learn a little bit more about your services besides just going to the website?
I post a lot of thought leadership on LinkedIn. I actually have a newsletter you can get off my profile as well. I post every Tuesday on issues around video and really about, I've got my own talking points now about the changes in marketing. AI has really changed things. Video has really changed things. And we talked about that business culture revolution. That's really just making a culture where, a marketing culture where things that used to work don't work the same way anymore. And using AI and video, that's, I think, really the antidote. So I would urge you to, if you want to learn more about that, check out my newsletter as well.
Yeah, we didn't really jump into AI, so still got some time. Let's talk a little bit about AI.
Yeah.
How's that changing the video game?
Yeah, AI obviously opened the door to anyone making amazing content at scale, maybe close to free at this point. So that flooded the marketplace with all kinds of content, but it's not all good content. We have a culture of distrust right now of AI because we all know it's fake. We know it hallucinates. We know it lies. We also have a cultural distrust climate right now with disinformation that's out there. So trust is at an all-time low. AI is automating distrust. Video, I really see like this authentic video is really an antidote to that, because we can tell that this is human. This is authentic stuff that stands out. Yes, there's ways to use AI in creating video content, but it shouldn't be like an avatar, right? We want the real people thing, but you can use it for pre-production planning, and you can use it like what we're using Descript for editing and things like that. Those are great tools, but let's not confuse AI as the content itself, because that is, I think, the road to ruin in B2B land, because trust is so important. Standing out is so important. And AI doesn't do very much in either one of those categories.
Yeah. It's also, I look at it a little bit different. There's no B2B and there's no B2C. There's people to people.
There you go.
I think that's something new I'm pushing, is that we get caught up into this is B2B and this is B2C and this is B to government and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's people to people. And yeah, I use Descript as well. It's a great, powerful tool to help edit, get rid of the ums and ahs, and help clean up the show. So I see AI as an asset to help edit the stuff, but I completely agree with you. I've played with avatars and tried to create some stuff, and at the end of the day, I wasn't sold. It just wasn't the same thing. And I think, as you mentioned, the authentic individual is much better. It's going to come across much better than using an avatar to share the message. What's your quick thoughts on people cloning themselves as an avatar?
I don't know really what the use case is for that. I've seen people advocate for it, and I've seen different tools that do it, but it sends an interesting message to your customer. It's, you're not important enough for me as a person to show up and talk to you. It's a weird kind of message in the subtext of that. And it's also, we know it's AI, so it undercuts trust. I don't think it's the way to go. I like to keep my mind open that AI is moving fast. We may get to a point where that is a good idea, or it's not distinguishable from real life, but I like to think that humans still matter. And I really see that as like the ultimate differentiator. The ultimate moat for me is that I'm me, and no one else can do that. They can get close, but you can trick people, but over time, they're going to be able to tell it's fake. I think if a lot of people see it over and over again, the cracks will appear. So I don't think it's the way to go, but prove me wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's a great tool to help produce the video, but I think I'm with you 100%. It's still the better way is to do it yourself, be authentic, and then use the technology to help speed up the cleanup process and the production of it.
Yeah.
And then now you've put out a much better product, and you've cut the time, and that's really the biggest thing, is cut the time in delivering it from what you used to have to do, what, 5-7 years ago in editing. Now today with the AI has collapsed that time dramatically.
Yeah, keep the benefits of AI automation, but also keep the benefits of human connection and the human differentiation. AI is great for summarizing things, but it doesn't have its own ideas. It doesn't come up with original perspective yet. Maybe it does and I'm missing it, but I think opinions matter. How can you fake a human experience? Like, I've got 30 years of experience. Like, that's going to come across. And I think it's extremely valuable. When everything is the same and it's all summaries of summaries, less valuable. Important, sure, but it's not special.
Great. As we come to the end here, Dane, how can people find you?
We talked about on my site, digitalaccomplice.com. I'm on LinkedIn all the time. Dane Fredrickson, and I've got a newsletter. I take DMs, and I'll connect to just about anybody that has a good reason to.
All right. Make sure that's in our show notes. Thank you so much for your time. Great conversation, and definitely would love to have you on the show down the road again.
Awesome. Thanks, Freddie.
Dane really drove home this idea. Video doesn't have to be perfect to be powerful. It just needs to be real, consistent, and useful. That matters for service-based business owners, because trust is what wins business, and authentic video helps people see your expertise before they ever talk to you. And that's exactly what I believe, too. Your superfans aren't built through polish alone. They're built when people feel like they know you, trust you, and remember you. If this episode brought you value, leave a quick 5-star review. It helps other service-based business owners discover the show. If today's conversation got you thinking about where your business could be, not just this year, but 3 years from now, don't let it stop here. Too many service-based business founders get stuck in feast or famine revenue, marketing that doesn't convert, and teams that depend on them for every decision. That's exactly why I share weekly insights from my own years of experience and from interviewing more than 200 guests on this show and my Prosperity Pathway newsletter. You can sign up for it at prosperitypathway.tips. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm grateful you're part of the Business Superfans movement. Every listen and every action brings you closer to building your own superfans. Be sure to subscribe to the show. We've got another great guest coming up that's going to drop some valuable insight. So I'll talk to you in the next episode. Remember, one action, one stakeholder, one superfan closer to lasting prosperity.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.